Well, good morning. It's a beautiful fall morning on November 4th, 2024. I hope that you are having a great day. And we all know that this is election week, and I know that many people are praying. They're praying for our nation. They are praying for God's will to be done. They are praying for there to be biblical values. They are praying for a lot of things. And I want you to know that your prayers need to be for our nation, need to continue for God to work in the lives of the American people, because really it's not just America that is being impacted, but the whole world, as we are, in a sense, really the superpower of the world. Proud to be an American, proud to be a Southerner. And as I was joking last night in our Bible study, which I think went really well, that I am from Charlotte, North Carolina, originally, and I do believe Charlotte is the South, y'all. And so I've had some people say it's too city to be the South, but I mean, maybe you can make that case to some degree in that it's not like it used to be, but it's still the South, y'all. And I do love Charlotte, but I don't always like what it does and what it's become. But anyway, enough of that. I just want to say I thought yesterday was such a great, great time to be together. Yesterday morning and the evening was just sweet. I want to just say that right off. I hope that you were able to join us yesterday, because I think you would agree there was this spirit in the church that was just sweet and it was fervent. And really, when I think about that, you know, I'm reminded of the Greek word koinonia, which basically, essentially means Christian fellowship. It kind of indicates a sweet fellowship, a warm and just a friendly, thriving fellowship. Think about it. Our fellowship yesterday was warm, wasn't it? It was friendly. Our worship was focused. It was living. It was vibrant. Our gathering was inviting and welcoming. And I believe that just about everybody that was there yesterday enjoyed being there. I think the music was great. And I just want to say the past 2 weeks especially have been just wonderfully inviting and welcoming. And I believe that God is moving through Packlet Mills Baptist Church. So let me just ask you this. What makes for sweet fellowship? What makes for sweet koinonia? I believe when you go into a church, you can sense the atmosphere, can't you? You can tell if the environment is friendly or if it's unfriendly. You can tell if that environment, that church environment, is welcoming or unwelcoming. Think about it. When you go into a church, you can know if the Holy Spirit is there or not. You can tell if the church is full of praising, or you can tell if it's full of pouting. You can tell if the church is full of rejoicing, or you can tell if it's full of complaining. The ex-Southern Baptist Convention president, J.D. Greer, said in 2013, "Communion with the Spirit is not so much Him speaking new words to us, but giving us a greater awareness of the old ones." I think that's very true, y'all. And I said this yesterday, that if we want to know what can help us in our ills, in our struggles, in the things that we are really being faced with almost on a daily, weekly basis, we've got to go to God's Word first and foremost to know what God has said to us in His Word. Because really, there is not one thing that humans go through that God does not talk about in His Word. It's in there. And the only way you can know it's in there is to go to that Word. Amen. I think there's some amens going on right now. I want to just give you a few of those words, and they're both found in 1 John chapter 1. One is found in verse 3, and the other is found in verse 7. And here's what it says: "That which we have seen and heard," John says, "we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." That is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because it's so hopeful. It's so encouraging. I'll tell you, by nature, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. But I don't always like to hunt and stay planted in realism. let me just explain what I mean by that. I like to know that my realism also has an optimism to it. All right? And I like to know that my realism is not like grounded in pessimism or it's so realistic that there seems to be no optimism and no hope. I like to be a hopeful, happy person. I really, really do. And I like to know that there is a hope for the present and for the future. And when I read the book of 1 John, man, I get blessed with that. I mean, I feel hopeful. I feel like there is hope in the church. There is hope in my Christian life, and that it's not just doom and gloom. I am not one of these preachers that likes to harp on doom and gloom, fire and brimstone. I'm not one of these preachers that likes to just bust people's hides and pour salt, as they used to say at Fruitland Bible Institute. I believe that we should fill each other with hope. And the greatest hope that we have is knowing that we have fellowship with one another in Jesus Christ. You may feel today like you are ostracized, like you have no friends, like you have nobody there in your corner. But listen, you do, and you can. When you come to church, when there is that koinonia and that fellowship, when you have somebody there to just say, hey, I'm here to listen. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you a word of encouragement, to let you know that God is blessing you right now from the portals of heaven by being close to you. Sense his closeness. Do what you've got to do to get rid of the things in your life that are drowning that out. But underneath all of those layers of stuff, there is the reality that God is drawing near to you and wants you to know that. I get that when I read 1 John 1. I hope you get something great too. But let me ask you this question, and I'll wrap this up. I know that you've got a lot of things to do today. It's Monday. How can we ensure that we are having the sweetest fellowship possible? 3 to 4 ways. First, by aligning together for the same purpose, Jesus Christ. That's got to be our purpose, Jesus Christ. Him glorified, magnified, lifted up, exalted, and proclaimed. Secondly, by keeping ourselves in check and not looking at the faults of others first and foremost. Man, it is so easy. And there's some people that all they want to do is they want to find the faults in other people and not look at their own. Or in their own household, they may have faults in their kids or in their spouses. And I'm telling you, when we look and keep ourselves in check first and foremost, man, our fellowship is going to be sweet. Thirdly, by gathering together consistently and constantly as a church. Some people can get by with gathering once a month. I can't see how that's possible. How can you have sweet fellowship by seeing the church once a month? It's impossible. I'll just say that. We got to have a constant and a consistent desire to gather at the house of God with people. If you can't do it because of health or something else, I understand. But if you can tune into the services, be there. Do it. Because I'm telling you, you will find that God is on the move. He is doing something great. And he wants you, however you can do it, to be a part of it. And then lastly, by prioritizing fellowship. It's got to be made a priority in our lives. It's not in us to naturally want to be with people. I'm sorry, it's just not. But we prioritize it and we make it something that we want to do. I think a lot of people can get by with just being by themselves. But God, in one sense, has not created us to be that way. We're created as relational beings, but I think through the fall, that's not something that comes easily. Just to clarify with that. We're created to be relational, but because of the fall, because of our sin nature, that's not always what we want to do. So we got to get back to that original design and say, hey, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do to fellowship with believers, to worship with them. And I think when we do that, friends, we will see that God is doing something great with that. Let me just say this. A church is as useful to its community as its fellowship within itself is sweet on the inside. A fellowship is as useful to the community as its fellowship is as sweet on the inside. One final thought, we can all bring something into the church that will bless and benefit it. Some believe money is the answer to all of the church's ills and will cure all of its problems. But what will help the church thrive and keep it alive and active is when the fellowship is sweet and the people are glowing with generosity. Don't be a stranger. Come join us at Packlet Mills Baptist Church because God is on the move. Have a wonderful day and may your fellowship be sweet.